Finances can be complicated, but they don't have to be. I break down financial topics that may seem complex and overwhelming so you can start taking action on your financial goals. I'm Ari Talbig, and it all starts here on Personal Finance Redefined.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we have a fun episode. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, I really appreciate it. I try to bring as much helpful information as I can, but the best way is if you provide me feedback. My website has a submit your question section at personalfinanceredefined.co. If you submit your question there, I'd be happy to go ahead and answer that on a future episode. Without further ado, let's get into it. Today's episode is a fun one, tax loss harvesting versus tax gain harvesting. So when it comes to investing, there's a lot to think about. You could look at individual stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, real estate, the list goes on. Especially now in the time we're living in, it's awesome. You can add in cryptocurrency, which truly is a part of many people's portfolios now. You can have direct real estate. You can have art. Yes, you can literally invest in art right now through companies like Masterworks or direct real estate through companies like Fundrise. These asset classes used to really be only for the uber wealthy, and now a non-accredited investor can be allocated. They can invest in that. So you don't no longer have to have a high net worth or substantial income in order to capture that part of the market. And of course, that's something that I talk about with my clients and what makes most sense. But at the end of the day, it's really about when it comes to investing, what you take home. And so that's why I talk about tax loss harvesting and tax gain harvesting. But as my clients have heard too many times, investing is more than about making money. It's about using that money to achieve your goals. And if your goals are about maximizing profit, I always say awesome. But then what I'm about to say is even more prudent. Investing is about making money, yes. But tax planning, that's about keeping the money that you made. So if you make 100% return, awesome, you're a killer, you're the next Warren Buffett, but are you being efficient in when you sell so you avoid a 37% tax bill? Are you taking precautions to understand the difference between short-term capital gains rates, long-term capital gains rates, how that's going to affect not your income today, but how selling those stocks might impact your income over years to come? Because when it comes to investing, it's about tax planning that can often be even more important. Tax planning doesn't just work for today, but it can lower your income for years to come. So one of the topics I use, one of the strategies I use when looking at my clients' portfolios is tax loss harvesting and tax gain harvesting. So let's talk about what they are, and then I'll get into some examples. So what is tax loss harvesting? Tax loss harvesting involves selling one investment at a loss to offset the gain of the sale from other investments. All right, let's get rid of the jargon. The idea being use losses to offset wins or gains and reduce taxes. Here's an example. Invest in Apple stock. Let's say you buy one share for $100. Of course, this is not the price, but to make it easy, let's use round numbers. One share of Apple, $100, and it goes up to $150. Well, that's $50 of growth that you have to pay taxes on when you do eventually sell. Now, example, same example, but different scenario. Let's say you buy Microsoft. Also, one share for $100. I know, unrealistic, but it makes it easier. Microsoft, one share for $100. It goes down to $70. Well, that's a $30 loss. Now, you have a $50 gain from Apple stock, went from 100 to 150. You have a $30 loss from Microsoft, 100 to 70. Well, let's pretend you didn't hear anything I just said. If you filed your taxes and didn't use tax loss harvesting strategies, you may not sell Microsoft and you'd pay the full $50 in taxes when you sell Apple stock. When in reality, you could sell Microsoft in the same year, reduce your overall taxable income to only pay $20 instead of $50. You use the losses to offset the capital gains taxes. You're intelligently selling, you're intentionally selling to take advantage of the market, not only the market today, but potential tax consequences in the future. Ideally, you would sell Microsoft in this example to offset the gains by a similar investment so you still have a retention in that exact asset because hypothetically, when we build out a financial plan, it's tied to a goal. And so that goal is to create income, to create returns. It depends what your goal is. But let's say it's to maximize returns. Well, we just sold Microsoft. Well, that now is going to change, as you could guess, the weighting of the overall portfolio. So maybe we don't buy Microsoft, but we buy a similar investment to retain that position and capture the future growth of what Microsoft would have created. In reality, I would use a diversified mix of investments, but this is just a simple state. Okay, Ari, so that's tax loss harvesting, to take the losses, use them wisely to not pay taxes, or I should say, lower my taxes in any given year. So what's tax gain harvesting? Think of this as the opposite. This is where we strategically, intelligently, intentionally sell winning investments to pay capital gains taxes. Ari, why in the world would I do that? Aren't I supposed to pay the least in taxes, limit as much as I can? Well, yes, but we know we have to pay taxes on gains at some point. Unless we're talking about retirement accounts, the government's not that nice when it comes to individual or taxable accounts. But if we know we have to pay taxes at some point, let's take advantage of our tax brackets so we can pay the smallest amount. So when would you want to utilize a strategy like this? When your capital gains tax rate is lower than you expect it to be in the future. The idea being paying the tax today rather than at a later date when you're in a higher tax bracket, if you assume your income will grow up over time. As I said at the beginning, there's a lot when it comes to investing. There's a lot to think about looking at individual stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, real estate, and tax planning is just as important and often overlooked. I hope that was helpful. I find this stuff really interesting, and it's great personal finance topics to really utilize to increase not only your knowledge, but the benefits it can last for your family and overall your free time in the future is really awesome. And so when I'm working with clients, it's really to find out not almost what you're doing wrong, but how to maximize that. So if you have any questions on that, be more than happy to answer those. And you can go ahead and email me. Once again, that's going to be Ari@rootfinancialpartners.com. Submit a question. I love getting the listener questions because then I really know what you guys want a topic to be answered, and I'll do the whole episode on you. So that is at the submit your questions section on my website, personalfinanceredefined.co. Keep them coming.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Personal Finance Redefined podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and let me know if there's anything in particular you would like me to discuss by submitting a question at personalfinanceredefined.co. That's personalfinanceredefined.co. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hey everyone, quick disclaimer here. Please be smart about this, and before taking any action, consult with your tax planner or financial planner. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment, tax, legal, or other financial advice. It's for informational purposes only.